since this mic is on.
Well, could you tell him to lower the damn piano thing going on in there?
They're really proud.
Yeah, I know that, but every week the same thing.
Yes, every week the same thing.
That's the new name of our show.
Yes, yes.
I was laughing before. I was kind of... You look very frustrated. Why don't you just tell everybody what's on your mind, Kyle? You look extremely upset. Is something not working?
Oh, no, I'm just...
I hear you. I see you.
Yeah, but I'm not monitoring... I mean, everything's the same in my headphones. I'm trying to monitor our theme.
You can't hear the music.
It won't go away. I hear it when it's all the way down.
Wait a minute. Okay, that's interesting. Well, you must be turning down the wrong pot. That's
it, okay.
Yeah.
You know what? In all my frustration getting going here, I think that's what I was...
It always comes down to the wrong pot.
Well, no one told me other than that I had switched it, so that's the problem, definitely.
I'm going to quote you on that. Nobody told me that I had switched it.
That's right. So,
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I was laughing before when you were giving the ID, and the reason I was laughing was because I would like to read you something that went out over the website... Of you have to love it when people get the terminology completely wrong, when they log into the website to read a particular announcement. And yeah, I logged into the Stony Brook website not too long ago to read an announcement. And no, I was not hacked. That did not happen to me. But I was befuddled and perplexed and a bit stymied by what I read. There was an announcement about something we're going to be doing tomorrow. The University Bookstore, in collaboration with the Provost Liaison Office and WUSB 90.7 FM, is presenting a fall community festival on Wednesday, October 8th, from 12 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. outside the Melville Library, and WUSB will be streaming live from the festival. We are not 90.7 FM University that we broadcast from. Get our frequency right, for God's sake. You know, the funny thing about that is that there is a radio station at 90.7 FM that the university sometimes does things with. It's kind of like they're having an illicit affair with another station.
Right.
And they do, you know, you see them, if you go to maybe a concert or a movie or something, you'll see special thanks to... XXXX, because I won't say their name on the air. I won't dignify this by saying their name. But you will see sometimes that other station. And you know what? This university is a bit promiscuous, because it's not only one station. Sometimes it's another station that they're in bed with, literally. Yeah, I say literally, quite literally, because I mean it. And yeah, we are not 90.7 Stony Brook. We are 90.1. Get it right.
Well, be that as it may, we are capable of a bit of... community radio polyamory, as it were, and we're happy that...
I'm sorry, sometimes I get the call letters wrong. Sometimes I call us WSUB. Do you know that? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for interrupting. Continue.
Well, but we're all doing our best. We're happy to have a festival here. We're happy to be a part of it, even if our frequency is inaccurate. But that's just an opportunity to get the frequency right.
We can broadcast on 90.7. Do you want us to move to 90.7? Because, you know, we can just climb up on that transmitter. Actually, it's an antenna you climb up on. And make some adjustments. It'll be completely illegal and very dangerous. And it will annoy a lot of people on both frequencies. But we'll do it. You know, you tell us that's our frequency. Well, we'll do it.
And there are actually things, you know, that we could do frequency-wise. Maybe it's a suggestion. Maybe they'd like an additional simulcast on that frequency. Who knows? It could be a subconscious thing that's going on here.
KEXP.
90.3.
See? Right away, you know the frequency of a station that you're nowhere near, because you've listened to it in the past.
Yeah, and then 91.3 is KBCS.
Here we go.
91.7 is KXOT. And
can you go into the commercial band as well? Can you do this all the way through to the
No, end? I basically know everything in that area.
I can do that. Well, actually, I can't really do it now because too many stations have changed their call letters recently. But I can pretty much talk about any frequency in the New York area and give a little story about that.
Yeah, you're really good. You know the history, the backstory. And it's really interesting, the ownership and how that changes, and how just through a dash of a pen, something that was totally one thing can be in a different direction, and all it is technically changed hands and re-identified.
Take a frequency at random and see if you can make a fool of me, or if I can make a fool of myself by seeing how little I know about it or how much I know about it, and if I get it wrong.
Hopefully
it's the frequency we have, but...
AM 710.
No, well, okay, fine. You picked AM 710. I meant FM, but fine. 710 is WOR. it's a Clear Channel station, which means it's not owned by Clear Channel. By the way, they're changing their name to something stupid, but that's better than being called Clear Channel, because Clear Channel is an atmospheric condition that AM stations have. They don't turn down their power at night, and you can hear them as far south as Florida if it comes from New York and up into Canada. And you can, it's called DXing, listening to distant stations. You can listen to stations from all around the country if they are Clear Channel stations. Again, not the company, if they are stations that do not turn down their power at night. An example, 780 AM is WBBM out of Chicago. You can listen to them. 670 AM is WMAQ, also out of Chicago. There's a ton. You can hear Boston. You can hear Memphis. You can hear all kinds of stations, even Canada. Used to hear CBC while they were still on analog AM, but they're not there anymore. But going back to WOR, yes, WOR used to be affiliated with Channel 9, which is also WOR. You know, I keep hitting this microphone because you can't move more than an inch in this tiny little room here. I'm sorry. It used to be affiliated with Channel 9 WOR-TV, mm-hmm. Out of, I believe, Secaucus, New Jersey. And then there was some kind of a scandal, I think in the 80s, involving RKO, and they had to divest that station, and that's why they changed their call letters to WWOR. They just added a W. But WOR 710 AM remains in New York City, and they're grandfathered into having a three-letter call sign. WOR was also the home of such radio pioneers as John Gambling, Rambling with Gambling, Bob and Ray, Gene Shepard. It was a station I used to listen to quite a bit.
Cool.
I think there's a lot of conservative talk radio on it right now, though.
Yeah.
Do you have any three-letter call letters out in Seattle?
No.
Interesting. Okay.
There may be one exception, but I do not believe so. Obviously, everything west of the Mississippi starts with a K.
Pretty much. There are some exceptions. WBAP in Dallas, Texas, for instance. And the biggest exception of all, KYW in Philadelphia, which is a K east of the Mississippi, way east of the Mississippi, and three letters. So they got super grandfathered in.
Yeah. But no, they're mostly four-letter as far as I know. Mm-hmm. But I don't have as rich and as steeped incredible knowledge of this as you do.
I have a lot of free time, and I tend to just sort of wander the dial and listen to whatever is out there.
Of course, and who wouldn't?
Well, hopefully somebody's wandering the dial right now and listening to 90.1 FM. Do we got that?
Yeah. What is that festival all about?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. The point is,
my ignorance of the festival goes as deep as university's ignorance of our frequency.
Of so. Their own. It's like their child. They just don't want to look at.
I keep hitting this microphone. Please, can we get another maybe foot of space to move around in?
I think for the remodel, uh-huh. We should do. You know what? Do mic trees this way, and then we put a nice guest desk, and then maybe a couch.
Well, I'm thinking pastels. That's what we talked about before.
Yes.
All right. Because anything I think that goes in salmon. Really well. Yeah. Yeah. Salmon. I've always had a fondness
for salmon
that.
Stain mm-hmm. on all of the countertops, and then we'll have a little swivel chair, and then a spiral staircase going to the other.
We found a video from 1990 yesterday of this place.
Oh.
And boy, you know, the people sure look different. I'll say that. But the studio looks pretty much exactly the same. A little bit more modern, actually.
You
had
do.
More technology in 1990 in this room than we do now.
Can I give a little background of what this video... This video was like home movie video. I don't know if anyone is listening. If you're a student here at Stony Brook, can you believe this? The radio station had enough people and fun things going on that they would walk around and videotape it because it was so crazy.
Well, it was crazy because it was one of our radiothons. And by the way, we have one of those coming up. We have a radiothon coming up.
And that's why we got into this, because mm-hmm. it was inspirational. It was getting us in the mood. We always go through the old radiothons when we prepare for them here at WUSB. That's just part of our commitment at Off the Wall. But watching it was fascinating because there was so much life. And the facilities have changed a lot, but a lot of it's the same.
Yes, that is true.
It's amazing. It was really cool to look at. I'm so glad you have that. It's just like having that home videotape, getting it dubbed onto something that you could put on a shelf and go and look at decades later. It's crazy.
I'm a maniac with saving. I'm not a pack rat, but I like to archive and cataloged so that things get preserved, whether it's the written word, whether it's audio, whether it's video. And we've been talking about this TV project of the thousands of hours of broadcast TV that I have. Well, part of that is actually a little bit of home video. I didn't do very much of it, but in 1990, I recorded part of Radiothon here at the radio station and some other bits and pieces. I think I rented a camera for a weekend. I think that's what I did.
Wow.
That was kind of cool.
Can you believe that?
And just went around town, went around talking to friends and things like that. And that was part of the TV project. I was afraid that tape had been lost, but it turns out it had not, and we've archived it. It's digitized. And as part of the final episode of The Voice of Long Island that we have not yet put online, it was a reunion show in 1990, there's video that goes along with that. So that will be coming up fairly soon, I think, as soon as we figure out how to edit it together and
I love
post it,
though. I mean, I love media used well. It's like jam-packed, full of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, you couldn't find, and it's just great to have it. I love like public time capsules and stuff like that, but they're kind of boring. Like, we all have our own personal time capsules, and it's really important to value those personally. I think I always get a kick out of stuff that I've organized at one point. It's like the fifth time I've gone through that box, but every time it's magical, and you rearrange it, you open that up, and it's like, okay, this is where this is at. Now I can either let this go, or this has to go into this, you know, shrine or this project. And oh, that's the magic. I mean, we're such an interesting species with our culture and artifacts of our own history. And God, I mean, just looking at that video is just, it was so cool. Cause again, here we are in the same building, and so much spirit, so much, good stuff was going on then.
You're also great at going through other bins and cupboards and things like that have not been touched in decades and saying, hey, Emmanuel, what is this? And all of a sudden, I see something I haven't seen since my childhood. You know, it's like, oh, it's an autographed Mickey Mantle baseball card. How about that? Or something, you know, equally
It's
precious.
Fun to go through it together because, yes. I mean, moving, these things can be really drudgery when you're like, you know.
I don't like to sit around going through boxes by myself. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
And I'm allergic to dust, too. Yeah. It doesn't help.
No,
but if you're going through it with somebody,
you can make it an event.
Yeah, you can make it interesting and find all kinds of things you didn't realize. And you have something to talk about, too. You have stories to tell about all these little items. But that's kind of what I think people should focus on, is not let the history get away, because it's everywhere. It's everywhere in all forms, and it's worth preserving. Even the bad stuff is worth preserving so that you learn from it. That's my little spiel on that. People have been asking about,
So, we covered Radiothon, right? It's coming
up.
Yes,
but now we have to do our alternate sports.
Yes.
We have the FA Cup thing that we've been following.
Yeah.
And we've gone from team to team to team, and literally, because we started with one of the lowest ranked teams, and we're basically following whoever wins the game after and going to the final in Wembley in May sometime. And we're up to, I think, the third round. Is it the third round or the fourth round? I don't know. But the point is, it's getting kind of insane right now.
I'm just along for the ride. I'm really just trying to ride it out and keep up.
We had an extra preliminary round. We had a preliminary round. We had the first round. We had the second round. And what's coming up now is the third round. And I think there's a fourth round. There might even be a fifth round before the actual professional teams start getting involved, really professional teams. And then there's a few rounds after that. But in the end, you have a champion. But what I discovered is that this whole thing, the FA Cup, Football Association, which we call soccer, over in England, and you have 800 teams playing in this tournament, they have an anthem. Or they awarded an anthem to a band. And they had sort of a similar thing where they had elimination tournaments to get an anthem. And this is the song that was chosen in May of last year to be the, to be the anthem for the game, for the final game. But we decided, why not have the anthem last for the season that's happening right now, not just one game? So this is the winning song. We'll just play a little bit of it by Reverend and the Makers. And the song is called, I lost the name of the song. Why don't we start playing the song, and then I'll find out what the name of the song was. So.
I dream of Euro Millions. I dreamed I scooped the law. I'd have sewers for my
Okay, so the song is called Shine a Light. I'm sorry, I didn't have that information, but it's by a Sheffield band called Reverend and the Makers. We were in Sheffield, remember?
Yeah, I remember. That was a good trip.
I was fit to be tied because we couldn't find the car rental place.
Of course, yeah. We did a bunch of car driving, and getting in and out of that rental place was a zoo. Really not a lot of parking lot or long private roads to practice before you get out there and start having to deal with everything.
Well, somewhere in that town was a band called Reverend and the Makers, and they have a frontman named John McClure, and he at one point said, We prefer that our track becomes the official FA Cup anthem than to be a number one. And I think he got his wish. I don't think this became number one, and it wound up being the FA Cup anthem. So in the FA Cup, the next game takes place on Saturday coming up. Our team, the team we're following right now, is called Barwell. They're in the seventh division, whatever you want to call it, seventh level. How about that? Seventh level down from the top. And they're playing another team, also in the seventh level, called Curzon Ashton. Curzon Ashton.
Curzon Ashton.
They actually played them on Saturday in a regular league game, you know, one that counts in the standings, and they got blown away 4-1. So that doesn't bode well for this Saturday.
They're not really on their game, are they?
Yeah. Well, Curzon Ashton are based in Ashton-under-Lyne. I love how England has names of towns that are hyphenated. Ashton under Lyne. And it's not an underline. It's L-Y-N-E. I don't know what that means, but that's where they are. And I'm not sure where Barwell is. Hang on. I can tell you where Barwell is in a second. But Ashton under Lyne is... I don't really know where that is either, to be honest. If you have any listeners in Ashton under Lyne, perhaps you could call us or write to us. Barwell plays near Hinckley in Leicestershire because they get two names there. That's how it works. So if we have anybody there in Leicestershire who listens to us as well, please let us know. The other thing that's kind of cool, we talked about this. Nunnington Griff is the first team we started out with. They're level 10, and they're long since eliminated from the FA Cup. But here's a quote from their coach that sort of tells you how it works over there. I'm not one to make excuses, but we had five lads pull out in the days leading up to the Littleton game. But what can we do? If the lads have got to work, then they've got to work. And what that means is we can't stand in their way, continuing the quote. As I always say, we don't pay them. We can't expect them to play every week. That's how it works, okay? They don't pay the players, so they might have to work, and then they can't play, and then Nunnington Griff will lose, and they're out, you know? And as you get higher up in the pyramid, they tend to pay the players a little bit more for each level that you go up.
Right.
Until eventually it's all the players can think about when you get up to the Premier League, and they show up every week. So, yeah, that's the British system for you.
Right, and then they're like Ronaldo, right?
Yeah, we got people like that.
All chic and everything.
Egos the size of a country.
Sure.
You hear about this guy who got penalized in professional football because he was bowing down to pray after he scored a touchdown? Hussein Abdullah, which is probably the real reason why he got punished, because Hussein? He has a name like that,
okay,
and plays for the NFL. He returned an interception for a touchdown. He slid to his knees in the end zone to pray and was controversially flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. That was one Monday ago. To give them credit, NFL spokesperson Michael Signora wrote in a statement Tuesday morning that Abdullah should not have been penalized and will not be fined. He said, despite the rule prohibiting excessive celebrations, the officiating mechanic in this situation is not to flag a player who goes to the ground as part of a religious expression. The penalty had drawn criticism from some observers because similar celebrations have been allowed in the past. The most famous case involved former Broncos and Jets quarterback Tim Tebow, who had dropped to one knee after a touchdown, a move that came to be known as Tebowing. Abdullah is a devout Muslim. He said he thought the 15-yard penalty did his action immediately before his prayer. For me, I just got a little too excited. I think it was for the slide that he got in trouble for. But, you know, you shouldn't have to apologize for being excited after you score a touchdown. And if that is how you show your excitement, more power to you. There is, you know, a lot of Islamophobia around. A lot of it.
It seems to be convenient. At this juncture, not that there aren't a lot of interesting things going on in the world of religion and geopolitics, but...
Interesting things, yes.
I dare say it is pretty common for people... Can we now say that kissing and pointing at the sky is also not allowed, because that is inherently religious, because you're gesturing to the big guy, and you clearly have a love, and that love and adulation and your faith and whatnot expressed with that gesture is clearly religious and unsportsmanship like.
Yeah, you will see all kinds of hypocrisy and all kinds of fear and hatred being expressed. Some of it in places you wouldn't expect. Some of it from people that you wouldn't expect to hear it from. And some of it is just based on misinformation, based on jumping to conclusions, based on all sorts of things that happen in times of stress. And yeah, we're certainly living in times of stress right now. But there is a... there just seems to be this... almost instinctual response to something that you don't understand, to basically condemn an entire people, an entire religion, an entire country, an entire race. And it's something that we need to talk about. Simply condemning somebody and labeling them in a particular way doesn't advance the conversation at all. And I think that's we should take the opportunity to discuss it. We see so much criticism and fear of the Muslim world now. And people basically saying that it's a violent religion, it calls for death of people who don't believe, and taking over parts of the globe and all that. You have to put everything in perspective, all right? There is no religion that is immune from this. There are Buddhists going around killing people, all right? You think Buddhism is a nice, peaceful religion. Well, guess what? It's defined by certain people. It's defined by who is carrying out what in whose name. And you'll see the same thing with Christianity.
Sikhs are warriors.
You'll see the same thing with Judaism. There is no religion. There is no religion that is immune from this. None. And as far as the Islamic faith, it's been around for quite a long time, quite a while. And we haven't been talking about this kind of thing until fairly recently. Now, why is that? You have to ask yourself if
the expression of Islam.
Yeah, if the Muslim faith is such a threat, is such a bad idea, such a violent religion, then it would have been like this the entire time. All right, there would have been all kinds of horrible things happening if that particular view was valid. But because certain people have taken advantage and taken on the name, such as Islamic State. They get to be seen as representative of the faith by ignorant people who actually believe this. Any fundamentalist, any extremist can hijack any religion. It's entirely possible. And when you have 1.5 billion people in a particular religion, you have more possibilities for that to happen. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. Some people who are very fundamentalist and angry. And then you got to look at why are they angry? Why are they so angry? You know, how many of them have been killed? How many people of their particular, in that part of the world, in their religion, have been killed by outsiders such as us? How much of this is directly related to our actions in the past, in the recent past? So, you know, it's easy to paint a broad brush and say, oh, these people are violent, this religion is violent. But, you know, I think the religion is pretty open, and open, unfortunately, to people moving in and speaking for it, without actually understanding it themselves. But we need to have this conversation. We need to not pretend it's not an issue, or that people who don't get it simply need to be ignored. No, they need to be engaged, because they're not necessarily bad people. They might just be completely misled as far as what it is they're believing in. And I think the more we talk about it, the better.
Yeah, and certainly our reactions and our sentiment going forward instructs how further backlash is expressed, or and how people interpret what we say. Certainly, we're not infallible in this situation, but you have to have a given opportunity for people to affect things, and yeah, it's. It's important that we are critical of our brothers and sisters, people around us that they might be passionate about something, they might disagree, but they're probably not showing it or explaining it or actually opening it up, like you said, in a discussion or as a dialogue, but rather just using it as an excuse to act and be in certain other in other ways in the community. So,
well, I love
that's
hearing
not, that's not effective. That's
I love hearing from people how there's not enough within the Muslim world opposing ISIS, ISIL, IS, whatever. And then you have to ask yourself, okay, how much attention is paid by our media to what anyone in the Muslim world is saying? You know, maybe you ought to go to a Muslim country and talk to the people there and see if everybody is lockstep in agreement with what the fundamentalists are doing. You will find all kinds of disagreements. Just go locally and talk to people, and you will see that not everybody speaks with one voice. And I've seen the same kind of prejudice against African Americans, where basically it's us versus them. It's like, well, they always say this. They always claim this. They want everything to be taken care of for them. Ignorant statements like that, that are easy to condemn now because we have the benefit of a little bit of intelligence that has been spread around, but it's the same thing with a different cast of characters. And it's people who really should know better.
Yeah, it's more complicated than that anyway. I mean, to speak as though you figured it all out, figured out people, you're displaying your own sort of it's foolhardy. You're not doing yourself any favors.
No, and it's easy to look at particular actions and say, yeah, this is horrible. This is horrible. It doesn't matter who you are, but this is not right. And it doesn't matter what it is you're looking at, whether it's shelling of civilians as Israel did, whether it's beheading journalists as this ISIS group of people is doing. It's something that no matter who you are, you can say, this is horrible. This has to stop. This is bad.
Or jailing whistleblowers.
And it shouldn't be conditional. It shouldn't be, well, I'm not gonna condemn this unless you condemn that. It should not be. You know, take the higher road and just condemn away whatever you feel is wrong, regardless of who's behind it.
Yeah, we don't do carbon trading for condemning
no.
people.
No, we don't. We shouldn't. Absolutely not. That whole don't even get me started on that.
That's like playground stuff. I know. I'm sure there are middle schoolers that have a better grasp.
For God's sake, let middle schoolers run it. Okay, they will do a better job. There is no question about it. They are fair. You know, they know how to share.
Yep.
But I also think there is something to be said for people being afraid to criticize certain types of people because they're afraid of the consequences. And I'm looking particularly at a lot of people who call themselves atheists, okay? Because I haven't pissed off atheists enough. I need to do that now. You know, we hear all kinds of ridicule and scorn aimed at religion from people calling themselves atheists, particularly aimed at the Catholic Church and all the hypocrisy and Christianity in general and Judaism to a degree. But they really seem to back off on Muslims. You know, they really are. It's almost like they're afraid to offend. Don't be afraid to offend. Offend away. That's the only way you get anywhere, is by offending people and having the conversation. So, you know, if you believe that
Allah is stupid.
Yeah, okay. You just said Allah is stupid. There you go. Yeah. I wouldn't have done that, but no. You can ridicule whoever you wish. That is our right as a human being to be able to do that and to question, to basically say this isn't necessarily right. Nobody gets a free pass. Nobody should get a free pass. And we need to be consistent with that, all of us, conservatives, liberals, white, black, you name it.
Yeah, yeah, it's critical thinking and, being able to, consider how you appear, that sort of situation, that self-awareness.
You also have to question everything that you're told in the media, because right now, if somebody goes off to Syria to fight against Assad, you know, to bring down that regime, that's now a bad person.
Right.
Whereas 6 months ago, that was an honorable person.
That was
a good
thing.
Person because Assad was the devil. We had to do whatever we could to get him out of power. He was killing people. He was sending rockets to little villages and things. And people were going there to basically take him out of power. But now people are going there to form this horrible organization. And it's interesting that that is something that we have to take action against immediately. Whereas what he was doing, well, let's stay away from that. It's not really our fight. And I'm not trying to minimize at all what Islamic State is doing, but what he was doing was really, really bad too. I think it was probably worse because a lot more people were dying. But we basically stayed away from that.
I think that was that like mostly because of his alliances and who he's situated with in geopolitically speaking, and our overall stratification in the world at that time. But it's changed a lot now, given a lot of these events, and of course Russia and other hot spots and so on. But do you get the feeling like the Assad his regime is kind of looking there like maybe a little worried that, you know, the Americans bombing his country might just do a sloppy job, you know? The Americans are just like, oops, oh gosh, you know, that's too bad, but that might help out when we want to go in and rebrand, so to speak.
Yeah. It's getting really hard
because it's confusing.
Yeah, it's getting difficult for people in power to basically decide what side they're on. Like, you know, if Assad sees American bombs taking out ISIS, well, okay, I'm happy about that, he'll say. But wait a minute, they're bombing my country. That's not good. You know, and then you have Russia. Russia doesn't like us interfering, but they sure won't like ISIS on their doorstep. You know, they have some fundamentalism problems there as well, and they certainly want to stamp that out. So, okay, whose side are they on? Do they want to join in this? How come they haven't been invited to join in the bombing? Everybody else in the world is being given an invitation to this. You know, everybody, Australia, for God's sake, wants to come over and start bombing in Syria and Iraq. It's like everybody's getting passes for this, and why not Russia? You know, don't they have any interest in this? And Israel, okay, obviously, it probably would not go over well to see Israel bombing. They have bombed Syria before, but to bomb there, because then they'd be helping Assad if they bombed ISIS. But if they bombed Assad, then they'd be helping ISIS if they bombed Assad. They'd be helping Assad.
This is great.
It's so complicated, and it's like a soap opera. You don't know who you're stabbing in the back when you basically help somebody else.
Well, considering the Russians sell equipment to Syria, right? They'll be able to bomb the equipment they just sold to the Syrians.
Exactly.
That's like going to get your car fixed and then driving around the block and the mechanic's out there wailing on it, breaking something else not a day later. And then you go back and pay him for more.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's also true that the very equipment that the United States gave to Iraq is now being used against the United States by ISIS.
Oh, yeah.
So it's also interesting how everybody's calling it ISIS now, even me. When ISIS was very particular in saying that we've changed our name, we are now the Islamic State, not the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, which is what ISIS stood for. But people are kind of saying, you know what, we're not gonna respect that. We're gonna call you ISIS anyway because it rolls off the tongue.
And it's evil. It's darker. It's ice.
Yeah.
It's like Assad.
It sounds like a snake.
Slithery.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And anybody with 4747 at the end of their phone number, that spells ISIS, so you better get your number changed.
Well,
Oh yeah,
you
have a public service announcement.
Well, you know, no one.
Uh-huh.
No one. Not even ISIS. No one is prepared, for this threat.
Pianos?
And that was the wrong piano, I'm sorry.
Wait. That was a scary piano. you didn't put the new CD in.
I've been having trouble with the bots today.
All right.
No, what I was getting at is that ISIS and everyone else is not prepared for this threat, all climactic drama aside.
It's difficult to recognize Ebola because the signs, sudden fever, diarrhea, vomiting are shared by other diseases. It's quite difficult for anyone, except a healthcare worker, to say definitively, yes, it is Ebola, or no, it is not Ebola. So if you have sudden fever, diarrhea, or vomiting, and you have been in direct contact with someone who is sick, you should go to the health center, because no matter the cause, you can receive help there. And remember, with the right information and together with our healthcare workers, we can protect ourselves from Ebola.
We can?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds good. I learned today you can get Ebola from a dog.
You could get Ebola from a dog if the dog had a little thing with Ebola in it on its collar,
okay,
and then you slathered
now,
it all
really
over.
This is really getting ridiculous because a week ago I was told that you could only get Ebola from somebody who was sick with Ebola and was showing symptoms. In other words, if they were infected, you couldn't get it from them if they weren't sick yet. Then I found out after that that some guy washing out a car that had an Ebola person in it, is that politically correct to call them Ebola people? An Ebola person in it? He got Ebola by cleaning out a car. So it's obviously, you know, a little bit more than just coming into contact with somebody who's sick. Coming into contact with anything that somebody who was sick might have touched, including a dog now. And then dogs can run around, and apparently dogs can get Ebola too, and then they lick people, and before you know it, it's, well, I think maybe it is time to panic.
Yes, and thankfully, there are a lot of little tidbits, well, I've got some here, I've got some more information.
Yeah, more information?
Yes.
Please.
And if anyone hears any specific language, I tried to be as diverse as possible, because we want this message to spread, not spread it like an epidemic, but just we want the word to get out.
Poor choice of words,
sorry,
Kyle.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Le virus Ebola est présent chez les chauves-souris et ne les rend pas malades. Le virus Ebola est parfois libéré par les chauves-souris et peut infecter les singes, les chimpanzés, d'autres animaux sauvages et aussi les êtres humains. Est-ce qu'Ebola peut être causé par la sorcellerie ou une malédiction? Ou toute autre cause, non. Rappelez-vous, Ebola est présent chez les chauves-souris. Rappelez-vous, avec les bonnes informations et avec l'aide de nos professionnels de la santé, nous pouvons tous nous protéger contre Ebola.
That was French.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, that was the French advisory. Basically, where does Ebola live is what that's about. The first one was signs and symptoms, and that was in English.
I took French in 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade. I think I took it in 11th grade, and I took it in 2 years in college. And all I can do is say that was French. That's my full knowledge of what I just heard.
Yeah. Well, and I took a lot of French, so I tend to love French. But what these are is these are advisories from the CDC. I'm going to play a couple others. What they did, which I think is really, really interesting, is not only did they put these out in an audio form, they've got videos and other things on the site, the CDC site, but they put out the PSAs in multiple languages, and these are not just Latin languages, these are African languages. And I thought that was really, really interesting, and played a couple, and well, I thought I'd bring them in.
Yeah, let's hear these. Do we know what language? Do you know what languages
so,
they are?
The next one I'm gonna play is the next one I'll play is Mandingo.
Oh wow, that's one of my favorite languages actually, just from the sound of it.
Mandingo, not Mandingo. Mandingo. So let's give this a listen. I'll play a couple others.
Yoni slana Ebola kela. Mo wonde ni e. Business mo min be Ebola mo ntema. Again ko an kabila ti. Ando hospital mo nu. Mo min fana min be soboni ani ona soboni anenu. Again ko fitiri makono sula. Kono won mini donta dona ka fankele don ka fankele ntoi. Donta su fa wa ni wonde ni killa. Ko kono ndano. Mo kon ne manu woma en ka mo nsi Ebola ke soro ni kalor ber laburi ni kalori laburi. A onde wetede. Mo nsi Ebola ke soro na element ya nu kunna. Wotade wolkeni moni imiri ande kuma berbere akaka mabeni mabolo la nyonkono mabe hospitala monu algo mani ibola kekele
Oh my God! Did we do something to anger? She just sounds so angry. Is that characteristic of the language?
Isn't that something? Well, I think this is a little bit of a culture shock. We don't normally hear indigenous African languages in any kind of media.
No Mandingo stations around here.
It's really hard, and even satellite. I know people have satellite, and it's really I don't see a lot of that programming. It's hard to get. It's something you really have to be into to find. So when you hear it, it's really amazing.
It is,
and then to realize there are 8. Or 9 different African languages and dialects, and again, Ebola is that are represented here,
right?
And again, there are only four countries in the west of Africa that are actually really being hit by this
right now. Yes,
right.
Hopefully it won't get
they
bigger.
Need this many languages just to speak to people there. It really struck me as amazing, and I got into it.
There were a lot of edits in that one, too, for some reason. I'm not sure why that is.
It is, yeah, and you got to imagine the local talent. They're probably pulling people together as quickly as they could, and probably in different studio settings. In fact, there's one in here that has a bit of a hum in it.
Oh, is that part of the language? Or is
yeah,
that...
but I don't know if I'll play that one. It's a little distracting.
All right, what do we have next?
Sure. I'll play some more of the African ones. There's English ones in here that are really good, but we're running out of time.
Yeah,
so
where does the time go?
It flies.
Seems like
by.
We just began, you know, talking about football and Ebola and ISIS and prejudice and
it's rough. All right. Well, here is Susu.
Oh yeah.
Kui mbrekbekbe na refu na magi ibola fure kui agine nan ki atongo mama enfena karabama gine fon fodama na gi ibola fure ndela aga ki atongo ginema amama o amuriyo muri temde dime fon fure stomanara temunde adime fon fura mane alo mbrekbete na re mosore fure maira na re ibola fure na namma eluma dangira gi ibola fure re kine mbrekbete ma en anu ide edanga dandaga ema yone khaira non di kui wole mgera na re fatima elange akole regi ibola fure gere.
All right.
Wow. Did he say it? I could have sworn he said Obama at the beginning.
Yeah, it's
a similar sounding word.
It does. It sounds like he says Obama somewhere in there.
It's sometimes a little bit refreshing to say that you have absolutely no knowledge of what it is that you're listening to. I am completely 100% ignorant of anything having to do with that language.
Yeah.
I readily will admit that, but it's fascinating to hear. And I'm not happy for the circumstances that we're playing it under, but I'm happy that we're able to play it. And I wonder if any listeners out there are actually able to understand that language. It would be fascinating to talk to somebody.
I'm sure in a place like this, there's got to be some people that are familiar with the language and know it. I'm going to play it now. This is actually my favorite. There's a bunch of other languages. People can go to www.cdc.gov/vhf/ebola/resources/audio.html.
There's more slashes there than in a Freddy Krueger movie.
Yeah, they're the
That's
CDC.
Pretty good.
Their
I just came
slashes.
Up with that right now. Okay, yeah, let's hear. And okay. By the way, if you want to write to us, otw@2600.com is our email address. Off the wall. Let's hear another public service announcement.
All right, I'll play two more. My absolute favorite language is, just because of how animated the guy is, this is Creole. So let's give this a listen.
One thing but Ebola, we make it not easy for let people and take notice but now for sake of the sign them, where the person go just catch fever, so one time, it will go on belly, and it will vomit. Now the same sign them, where some other sick them get. So it can be, say, not to Ebola the person get. It can be malaria or typhoid. So he acts for let anybody just grab and say, this person here get Ebola or he not get them. If you just get fever one time, so you belly they go on or they vomit, you forgot a health center. Because elect I will be so tech, they must help you there. And remember, say, when you get the right information and the body will command and put on, we can protect ourselves from Ebola.
Okay, I am a fan. First of all, again, the message, it's a tragedy that this is the message we have to be sharing. But wow, it's a fascinating language. You hear English in there,
yes.
Spanish, French, it's all kind of mixed together.
It's a total mix.
Yeah, and I would love to play more material from these particular languages, maybe in happier circumstances. But the word of this really does need to get out, and hopefully we're helping.
Yeah, I've got one more here.
Where pussy not get fever? Ikiwaka free, touch other people them, go inside Poda Poda and take taxi, and that person then go pass Ebola to other people them. Person will get fever, can pass Ebola to other people them. And if the person been get fever, once he done well, and then don't discharge him, that means he not get Ebola again. In family them, and the people where they all in the same area, for gladi and rub skin with them. And member say, when you get the right information, and the body work man them put on, we can protect yourself from Ebola.
Well, that's what it's all about in the end, isn't it? Protecting yourself from Ebola, and hopefully, in some weird way, we've helped people that way. Hey, a special, special wish today for Vladimir Putin, who turned 62 today and had a bunch of children, wishing him well in this musical number.
And who wouldn't wish him well? All right, that's all for Off the Wall.
I know a lot of
tonight.
People wouldn't wish him well. A lot. Okay.
Well, all right, good night.
Good night.
See you next week.
See ya.
Решится. Hey kids, Finn with you. Finn's Revolution until 9 p.m. right here on WUSB. Stony Brook, tonight we have a special performance by Mr. Johnny Lee Jordan, who will be playing live in the studio. We'll be listening to some of his new release and chatting a bit. So stay tuned for that. Let's rock, baby. So Johnny Lee Jordan's going to be live with us in one moment, but we're going to hear something from his brand new release. This song is called Candy Mountain, and then Johnny's going to be on live with us just seconds after that. So let's dig this.
Get it for free. Come off that mountain. We got six steps, sister, not a single to breathe. I hear who's counting. Come on, Charlie. Climb up Candy Mountain. Pop down when you zig as I zig. Like scatting. Yeah, you're good, but you ain't better than me. I'm from Manhattan. Come on, Charlie. Climb up Candy Mountain. Come on, Charlie. Climb up Candy Mountain.
Cause it's always changing. Come on, Charlie.
Yeah, Johnny Lee Jordan right here on WUSB Stony Brook, Candy Mountain from Johnny's new release. This guy freaking rocks. He's pretty good, man. And he's with us right now. Johnny, how are you?
Hey, no, I'm good. Very good.
It's great to have you here on WUSB again. This is your second trip onto this show, right?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Wonderful to be back.
We're going to do a little more extended thing than we had a chance to do last time.
Sure.
Last time we were promoting the Spark Boom stuff, right?
Right.
And so we had a whole bunch of great artists in here.
Uh-huh.
And that was a lot of fun. And but today, I dug it so much that today I figured we would flesh it out a bit.
It's all about me.
It's all about you, man. It's all about you. So, first of all, that last song, Candy Mountain, comes from a new release of yours, right?
Yes.
And tell us about the new release a little bit.
It's called, the title's called Run. Mm-hmm. We actually recorded about a year and a half ago. We recorded it with this producer, Mike Sapone, who's done great Long Island records, Taking Back Sunday, brand new, all the brand new records.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a trip to work with him because those are the records I, you know, when I was younger were super relevant. And it just kind of took a while to do. We ran out of money. He ran out of time.
That's how it always is.
But finally, it just sounds great. So people are finally kicking me and saying, we got to put this out. So here it comes.
Okay, so it's called Run. And what's the actual name of the outfit, or is it just your name?
Johnny Lee Jordan and the Boys, because the Boys are on this one.
And the Boys, got it. All right. We'll talk a little about the Boys in a little bit.
Surely.
You want to sing a number for us now live?
Sure.
Grace us with the...
Sure.
What's this one? Tell us about this one.
Well, it's not even titled. It's really new. I've been listening to this record nonstop that we're about to put out. And it's kind of heavy and dark. So I was like, I need to write a... not upbeat, but posy song. So
got it. Let's hear it.
I seen a cedar day on the street, wrapped in black muslin fabrics, never too black for me. I shining like diamonds through a hole in the sheet. Such a funny way for a pretty girl to be. Her attitude was vacant, her countenance stiff. Couple curly cute kiddos tugging hard at her wrist. She sang, Shalom, Sabapalooba, be the boy you bother me. You see, to me, secular's a funny way to be. Dog, cause his dad was a dog, and mama tried her best, but bow wow wow. I'ma rip up that carpet if I cannot run wild. You gotta leave me off a leash to keep a hold of me. There's a place I can take you in upstate New York if you get a little bit tired of my other New York. That house, my temple, St. Mark's is my fort. Gotta leave me off at least to keep a hold of me. So tell me what is so bad about feeling good. And if I smile once in a while, will my heart take a turn for the worse? And is that worse than spending 3 days alone on my back, too sad to even charge my phone? On my back, too sad to even charge my phone. So here's the moral. So when I seen that cedar the day on the street, got me thinking about judgment and the people we meet. Well, we will never stop judging, but we can change how we think. Remember, every other person is a human being, and that's the corniest that you will ever hear me be.
That was great, man.
Thank you.
Great.
I had to add that.
That's right.
Ending, so I don't, you know, the tough guy.
yeah, that's a great song. So we had talked about a bit last time, and we'll talk about it again, about some of your influences and early stuff, and the first record you got, you know, things that influenced you. You want to talk a little bit about that? How you...
Sure.
Your musical direction?
Absolutely. I'm a sponge. I get to the point where I have to be careful what I'm listening to because it'll, you know, absorb into whatever I'm doing, or vice versa, rather. But the first, I always say this. This is a story. The first CD I remember, like the first songs I can remember singing and getting stuck in my head, was this Lou Reed Greatest Hits. It was the cheesy versions of, you know, Satellite of Love and Sweet the way he played with a guitar with no headstock, and some of the, you know, Revolver song, not Transformer songs, and I remember hearing New York Telephone Conversation, and for some reason, as a little kid, that plucked the right notes. I thought it was so funny. I had no idea what it was about, but even as like a 10-year-old, I could sing that song, you know.
Yeah, and it's Lou always had that interesting knack of, much like you're doing, of the drama with the funny,
tongue in cheek,
very much.
Yeah,
and of course, New York Telephone Conversation is one of those tunes,
yeah.
and not too different from the song in many ways you just played.
Right, I hear him all over everything, phrasing, you know.
But I'm talking about just general, you know, the little bit of pathos mixed in with the humor.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely there. And, okay, yeah, so Lou. And you can't go wrong with Lou as a songwriting influence.
Uh-uh. He's pretty spectacular.
Absolutely.
And whereas, you know, Dylan is so broad and you know, you can analyze him forever, Lou Reed is... He'll say something, oh, that happened to me when I was 12, 14. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know exactly what it was. And then he's broad, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. And it's just so sing-songy. The first time I heard Walk on the Wild Side, you know, if you're ever going to make a list of 10 greatest songs ever, which is a crazy list to make, but that's got to be on there. You know, that saxophone.
Yeah, fantastically... everything about that song is perfect. Everything from the production to the delivery to all the musicians, right?
Excited.
Something to aspire to.
Right. Very calm excitement.
Got it. So how long have you been actively playing and doing this music thing?
First guitar when I was 12. I had a birthday present. And first band. Well, I got a guitar to be in a band.
Right,
you know,
of course.
So we had the band before we had the guitars.
Right.
And it was something to do, mostly, you know, chicks and to be a punk,
mm-hmm.
which is, looking back on it, I'm sweet on it now, but it's so embarrassing, you know, like being from Medford, Long Island, and being a punk, you know. But, you know, it was something different, so that's what I got into. And, I mean, we went right into shows. We just started playing... I mean, I remember playing bars at 12 and our parents having to come, you know, otherwise they wouldn't let us play, so.
And did you play bars locally on Long Island?
Yeah, we played.
Where you started off? Mm-hmm.
First one was this place called Ground Zero in Belmar.
Okay, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, and it was, you know, all high school seniors and college kids, and we were, I don't know, 7th, 8th grade, and we had jackets with our names on it, and our moms had... They made hats that said "Mom of the Cheapskates." It's a great memory, actually. Now that I'm, you know,
yeah, that's really
embarrassed.
That's right, and I guess a certain point comes where we are embarrassed of things like that. But then you can look back at it; it's just fantastic.
Right? How could you be? It's such a beautiful first show experience. Yeah. You know?
So the Cheapskates was the name of the band.
Cheapskate. Well, first it was Information Overload, and someone came to their senses and went with the Cheapskates, which I think is still a great name.
It is.
And then we switched it to Schooner, which, and then it kind of all went downhill from there.
Well, once you go with the Schooner, that's it.
Right. Not a sailboat, a schooner.
Very good, very good. So eventually, obviously, you're in different bands, right?
Right.
Different people are coming along. And how'd you, you obviously gigged in the city over the years and different things.
Right.
And did different things. and are based, you're based in the, where are you, Lower East Side now?
Yeah, I live right on St. Mark's.
Okay.
St. Mark's and 3rd.
Where things are still happening. You know, I was in a certain bar down there in that area, down at, well, I could say it, you know, because he's been on the show anyway, but I was in Manitoba's.
Oh,
one,
yeah.
One evening.
I love
And Richard and I were, I was lamenting, there was a band there that was playing, and Richard and I were lamenting the fact that everything's, from when he and I were much younger,
uh-huh.
things have just had to have gotten so much quieter due to all the ordinances and all right. the regulations. Right. So even though bands are playing, it's not like the old days where, you know,
right.
you come in, things are blasting. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but we were just talking about it. He's like, yeah, there's, you know, he's like, times have changed, and we got to do it, or they're going to shut us down.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just funny just to, not that Manitoba's is in any way sanitized, but they have to follow the rules, too.
Totally. Absolutely. It's an establishment.
Right. Yeah. And the real estate around there is through the roof.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I have to work like crazy, to the point where, like, I'm not rethinking it, but I need to play guitar more. Like, there was four right. days where I didn't touch a guitar because I was working like crazy, doing right. whatever I can. You know?
To be able to afford to live in a certain place where right. things are happening.
Right. right. It's funny you say that because every, you know, every older cat, you know, buddy of mine that's been there since the 80s or, oh, it's not the same St. Mark's. It's not, yeah, it's fine. Like, I'd rather a Chipotle than a methadone right. clinic across the street, you know, like. Right. It's progress. I understand it's watered down for sure, but that just makes me have to work harder.
That's right. That's right.
I know I'm real, and I know I live on St. Mark's, and I know I love it. So
yeah, nothing's cooler than that.
Nothing. There's nothing cooler than living on St. Mark's.
That is 100% true.